Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara, 4 lines from the top of Lamed Gimel, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that continues with the topic that we were dealing with toward the end of the last year, the issue of an idol worshiper or a Jew on their way to or on their return from a place of idol worship, and the issue of doing business dealings with them. So the source says, and you can see there's a frame around these couple lines that sets it off from the rest of the Gemara text, because this is a Tanaic source, and in our marking system we attempt to show a distinction between Tanaic sources and the rest of the Gemara. The source says, Oved kochavim ha'hilech liyirid. A yirid is a marketplace of idol worshippers. So an idol worshipper is on his way to the yirid. Bein b'halicha, bein b'chazara muter. Whether it be on his way to the Yerid or on his return trip from the Yerid, it is muter to conduct business with him. Yisrael, ha'holech liyirid, a Jew on his way to a marketplace of idol worship. B'halicha muter, on his way there, it's okay to do business with him. B'chazara aser. However, on his way back, it is forbidden. The Gemara asks, Mai shno Yisrael de b'chazara aser? What is different about Israel that we say that on his way back it's forbidden? The Amri, we figure, Avodas Kochavim Zavin, Deme Avodas Kochavim Iko Behadei. He must have gone there to sell an idol, and the money that he is holding on to is money that he received for sale of the idol. And Deme Avodas Kochavim is also is forbidden to have. In other words, as a result of that, if I meet up with such a Jew and I were to sell him something, and he were to pay me for it, he would be paying me with demei avodas chovim, money that he got for the sale of an idol. That money is forbidden, would be forbidden for me to benefit from. Well, by the same token, oved kochavim nami, an idol worshipper as well, nemo, why not say avodas kochavim zovim, that when he went to the marketplace and I'm meeting him on his return, he must have sold an idol over there, demei avodas kochavim iko bahadei, and he has now avodas kochavim cash, the money that he got in return for his sale of that particular idol. And yet, in the source, we have, and you can see with the dash underline a few lines up, the Chazor Amuter, we saw that on his way back from the Yerid, it's okay to sell him things and get money from him. Ella. Rather, it must be that Oved Kochavim Amrinan, when it comes to the idol worshipper, we say, Glima Zovin, Chamra Zovin, he must have sold an article of clothing, a glima or a donkey, and the money that he got is money that he is holding on to in exchange for his sale of a garment or a donkey, which is things that are okay. Well, so still, Yisrael Nami, so when it comes to the Jew also, why not say, Nema, say, Amor Glima Zovin Chamra Zovin, why not say the same thing, that he sold a glima or a donkey? So the Gemara answers, Iso de Havilei, if it were so that the Jew had an article of clothing or a donkey to sell, Hocha Have Mazvinle, he would have sold it over here in his Jewish community. What in the world is a Jew going over to the marketplace of idol worshippers? The only reasonable explanation for that is that he must have had something that they, idol worshippers, would be interested in buying that he wouldn't be able to sell in a Jewish market, and that would be an idol. The Haboyin Mutarin, the Mishnah on Chof Tes Omid Beis, said that if they're boyin, if they're coming back from the idol worship place, then you can do business with them. This was in distinction with their people on their way to the idol worship place, then you could not do business with them. But on their way back, you can. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. lo shanu elo she'en kshura zeh bozeh. The leniency or the allowance for conducting business is if they're coming back as individuals. They're not in a band tied to one another. If, however, there was a group of people, a group is viewed as tied together. In fact, in Hebrew, a group is used the term chabura or chaver, and lechaber is to attach things together. So a group of people is referred to as people that are kshurin, tied to one another. So for our purposes, means if the people are coming back from an idol worship place as a group, then asurin, then it's forbidden to do business with them. Emo daito lachsor, because we figure that they're coming back as a group, they also have an intention to go back there. And as a result of that, I'm not allowed to do business with them for fear of their going back and then thanking their idol. Before we proceed in the Gemara, we encounter now a couple of geometric forms that we want to take note of. On the side, the outside margin, we have a mivneh, a structural note, and a house form appears. Shnei mekoros binyan shimush bekelim shogoyim. We have two sources. One is over here in the Gemara, and the second one, you'll have to skim down the page, and you'll see close to the bottom, three lines from the bottom, a second source. And it's easier to find things in our marking system if there appear numbers. In this case, you see numbers to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that would indicate skim down to find another one. So we will see another source later in the general topic of vessels of Gentiles. The source begins, Tana Rabbanon, we have a Tanaic source, Noidois Ho'evde Kehoven. These are flasks made of leather that are owned by idol worshippers. Grudim, if they are without a lining, a zephes, like it's a pitch, a material pitch lining. So if it's grudim, it's without the pitch lining. Chadoshim mutarin, if they are new. So these skin flasks, these leather flasks, would be mutar. That's chadoshim mutarin. Yeshanim, if they are old. Or umezupafin, if they are not necessarily old, but they are lined with the pitch, asurim, then these are forbidden. Ovei kechavim, ribavon v'ibdon, the Nosan Lusochon Yayin, the Yisrael Oymed Al Gabov, Eino Choshesh. At this point, we have to translate, but as a result of the translation, we'll be opening up ourselves for a question, and the Gemara will ask the question right after the source. So, in the meantime, source says that if an idol worshiper, Ribavon, means he is pouring the pitch lining into the vessel, the Ibdon, and tans it, when it prepares the leather. V'nosan l'soichon yayin, and he added wine at this stage. This is not wine for drinking purposes, but he added wine in order to remove the bitterness, to counter the bitterness that the pitch would create. And a Jew is watching over him, then there is no problem. The Gemara asks, V'chime achar de'ovi kechovim nosan l'soichon yayin. Once you say that it's the goy, the Gentile, that's putting the wine in, ki Yisrael omeid al gabov mayhavi, of what benefit is there that a Jew is watching? Once the Gentile is in control or in contact with the wine, that makes it yayin nesech, and it doesn't help that a Jew is standing there. So why does the source feature that aspect? And not only that, but it suggests that if the Jew is standing there, then it's okay. So as a result of this question, the Gemara presents a couple of approaches. On the outside margin, we see a diamond featured. Hesberim lamakor noides ha'evdekavim. This is an attempt to offer an explanation to this source. So, Omar of Papa, hochi ko Omar. Thusly, one should read the source. Ha'evdekavim ribvon the ibdon. If a Gentile is ribvon, we said is pouring in the pitch, the lining. V'Yisrael noisein l'sochon yayin. Notice we've dashed under on V'Yisrael noisein. This is the new feature that we didn't see before. And a Yisrael is putting in the wine to counter the bitterness of the zephes. V'Yisrael acher oimed agabov, and a third party, notice a second Jew, is standing and watching. V'eino choshesh, and there's nothing to worry about. The Gemara asks, "Umeachad Yisrael nosein l'sochon yayin?" If a Jew is himself putting the wine in, then Yisrael acher omid agabov lamali. What do you need to have a second Jew watching this for? The Gemara answers, "Dilma agav tirde minsach v'lava date." It could be that since the Jew is Torah, he's preoccupied in putting the wine in. So since he's preoccupied, he's concentrating on that. The goy, the Gentile, will come and stir the wine, and the Jew isn't going to even pay attention. So, in order to solve that situation, we have Yisrael Acher Omid Agabov. Rav Zvid Omar, Li'olam Kidako Amris Mekornos, we have Rav Zvid also in a diamond. So, he's a second Hesber to the Moker that we had above. So, he says, Li'olam Kidako Amris Mekora, that the Goy is putting the wine in. But now, as the goy is putting the wine into the pitch, nase kizorik mayim litit, it's viewed as if he were throwing water, pouring water into clay. What's the point? So Rashi, let's take a look at the Rashi. Kizorik mayim litit sheoiso yayin holech liibud bazefes. The wine that he pours into the pitch is really going to. Ibud literally means to waste, but as it's going for a purpose to remove bitterness, but the wine itself is not there. Ubotel tamo, and its taste is voided. Kemayim hanitnin betit, just like water that one puts into the tit, into the clay or the cement. Shekolin me'aleim, the water then just disappears. Kishemisyabesh hatit, when the clay dries, hare hen keilu lo hoyu, it's as if the water wasn't there. Af yayin ze kola belichluchis hazefes. So too, the wine that we were talking about is it gets absorbed and disappears in the fresh, in the liquidy pitch. Ukishemisyabesh hazefes, and when the zephes dries up. Kolo me'elov, the wine just disappears on its own. V'shuv eino poleden, that is, it's no longer going to exude forth. So Rav Zvid is saying that the fact that the goy is pouring the wine doesn't create any further iser, because it's viewed as if the wine he's pouring in to disappear. Amar Rav Papi, Shma Mino Min Rav Zvid, we can conclude from Rav Zvid. Hi Ovi Kuchovim the Shada Chamra Lebei Milchi the Israel Shori. If an idol worshipper casts some wine into the Bei Milchi, is where the salt storage area of a Jew. The salt is mutter. What's the parallel? So just like we saw above, throwing the wine into the clay, into the pitch lining, is Ki'ilu, the wine is not there anymore. So too, the wine thrown into the salt is considered as if it's not there anymore. Maskif lo Rav Ashi midami. How can you compare the case of the Bei Milchi, the salt, with the case of the pitch? Hosam, in the case of the flasks that would be used for wine, the kozil the ibud, the wine that one is pouring in is really wine that's going. It's going to be lost. Ibud means destroyed. It doesn't remain. It gets absorbed, as we said above, into the pitch, and there's no wine taste left whatsoever. Hocha, in the case of the salt, then the keeping the and pouring the wine into the salt, lo ka'ozil the ibud. The wine doesn't disappear, but rather in the salt there's a winey taste. So the presence of the wine is still felt, and therefore we can't be matir that. We have a topic heading on the outside margin that notes say, Irui Gimel Yomim Me'es Le'es, the filling up of different vessels to the top over a period of 3 days, each day for 24 hours. So that type of thing, that's Irui, is a process of filling up and pouring out. This process is Mo'il Lahakshir Noidais, a filu shel goyim, it'll serve to machshir, to cleanse, if you will, the vessel. Afilu shel goyim, lahachshir afilu kankanim shel cheres. This irui process ends up salvaging even earthenware vessels. So we turn to the Gemara. Bar Adi Taya, this is the name of an Arab merchant. Onas Ahu Ziki Mirav Yitzchok Bar Yosef. He strong-armed away some barrels or some flasks, more accurately, of leather from Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef. Roma Behu Chamro Vadrinu Niale. And then this Gentile had filled it up with wine and drank it. It was a short-term fill-up. And Vadrinu Niale, and then he returned it to Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef, from whom he strong-armed it away. Also Shoel Bei Midrasha. So Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef came with a Shaila. What's the story with these flasks that the Goy had stored wine in it for a short amount of time? Also Shoel Bei Midrasha. Amar Le Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah says, Kach Hira Riami Halacha Lamaisa. This is what you do. Memalon Mayim Shloshi Yomim Umaron. Fill it up 3 consecutive days and pour it out. Day after day, you fill it up, leave the water sit. V'yomar Rava, Rava continues and adds this point, Sorech la'aron me'es leis. The pouring out is not immediate, but after it's set with the water in it for 24 hours. We see a double underline. This is featured in our outside margin under the Mivneh heading, Shlavim shel birur halacha. We have stages in trying to clarify the halacha. Sover mino, hani mili, didon, aval didhu lo. The havamina was that the process of what's called milui ve'irui, filling them up and then pouring it out, works for a Jewish-owned ziki, Jewish-owned skin bottle. But for aval didhu, a Gentile-owned node or skin bottle, it wouldn't work. Ki also roven omer of shem elokish echad shelanu ve'echad shelahem. It works even for a Gentile-owned skin bottle. This filling up and pouring out would be a form of kashering it. Sovar Rav Acha Brei D'Rava K'meid Rav Ashi L'meimar Hani Mili Nodos Avo Kankanim Lo. The whole filling up and pouring out process works for the skin bottles, but not for earthenware flasks. Ravashi, lo shno nodos, velo shno kankanim. Ravashi rules that we make no distinction, and the milui ve'irui process will work for them too. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a second Tanaic source concerning flasks, different kinds of flasks. Kankanim shel ovdei kochavim, chadoshim gerudim mutorin. If they're new and they're not nizpaf, they're not lined. Yishanim or umezupafin asurin. If they're old, in other words, they've had a chance to absorb a lot of wine, and that's a reason to asur their use. And likewise, if they are mezupafin, if they're lined, and as we saw before, the lining of with pitch also is. The way to deal with that is to get rid of the bitterness, you add wine to it. So if it's a Gentile lined leather flasks, they will be forbidden because wine was added to the zipuf. Ovei kechavim nosein lesochon yayin Yisrael nosein lesochon mayim. That means that if you have a flask and a goy, an idol worshiper, had put wine into the flask. So the Yisrael then is no saying l'sochan mayim. It means he does the irui, the fill up and pour out process for 3 days. Hoyvi kohavim no saying l'sochan yayin. Yisrael no saying l'sochan tzir umurius. V'eino choshesh. If the goy had used it for wine, the Jew can use it for tzir, as fish brine, and murias, as a fish entrails and fish fats. V'eino choshesh, and you don't have to worry, and you can use it even without the irui of 3 days. The Rashi explains toward the bottom, miad. Even though he didn't fill it up with water, even if doing the milui and irui kashering treatment, afisha hatsir umurias sarfin esayayin ha nivla umechalin oso. The reason for our no need for the additional kashering process is because the tzir and murias that he's going to be using it for now will get rid of the any absorbed wine. Ibai Eloho, l'chadchila odieved. Going on the case of the tzir or murias, what do we have? We have vessels that were once owned by goyim, by Gentiles, and the source spoke about Yisrael no saying l'sochon sirumurias. Is this something that you can do at the outset, but or is it something you shouldn't do it? But if you did it, it's okay. So the Gemara asks, is it l'chadchila or diavid? Tosh ma d'toni rosvid bar oshaya halukia kankanim min ha'ovdei kechovim. One who buys these jugs, these vessels from the goy, chadoshim no saying l'sochon yayin. If the kankanim that you bought from the idol worshipper is new, then the Jew can keep in it, can store in it wine. Yishanim no saying l'sochon tzir umurias l'chadchila. This would answer our question in a beferish way. That is it mutter to put tzir umurias in the kankanim, so we said it's mutter lechadchila. It's totally acceptable. Bo minei Rav Yehuda nisio mi Rav Yami. Hechziron lekivshon ha'esh v'nislavnu mahu. Let's take, if someone took a clay vessel, and we know that the clay vessel has some wine absorbed in it, and then I put it in a kiln, that's the kivshon ha'esh, I put it back in the kiln, v'nis labnu, and they became white hot, mahu. What's the din? In other words, does the putting it back into the kiln serve to machshir, to get rid of the absorbed wine? Amale, tzir soref, ur lo kol shekein. Avami says if we agreed on the fact that the fish brine burns out the absorbed wine, then a fire of a furnace all the more so. It marami Rabbi Yochanan v'amri lo. Another version is Omer of Asi Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Kan kanim shalov dikochavim shehzirun lekivshon ha'esh. These vessels of idol worshippers that he put back into a kiln. Since their zephis, their lining, has burnt up. In other words, the lining is after being subjected to the fire, so the lining loses its staying power. Mutarin, then they are mutar. Omar Rav Ashi, lo temo ad dinasron. One doesn't have to say until the lining actually melts off completely. Elafilu ripa mirpa afagavdolonasar. Even if it became really soft from the fire, that's a sign that it reached the required the fire reached the required strength to kasher, and that's enough. Kinsa, another havamina of how heksher might take place. Kinsa is a situation where twigs are lit up and then placed inside the vessel. Pligi ba Rav Achav Ravina Chad Osar v'Chad Shori. One daya says that it doesn't help, and the other one says it does. V'ilchaso kemanda Osar, and the Gemara takes a strict approach that Kinsa, putting in the twigs and lighting them as a form of kashering the vessel, does not work. Ibaru mal litain l'socho shechar. If one acquired a kankan, or a node from an Oved Kochavim, is he allowed to pour into the receptacle beer? Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda, Asri, V'Rava, Shori. That means Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda agree that it's forbidden, and Rav Ashi says it's okay. Ravina Shorolei, L'Rav Chiyah, Brei, L'Rav Yitzhak, L'Mirma, Be'i Shichra. So Ravina allowed Rav Yitzhak to pour into the flasks that were owned by Gentiles. He says, you can pour into it beer. Also, Rama Bei Hamra. He went and poured into it wine. Ve'afilu hachi lo chosh la lemilsa. And even so, he didn't pay attention to this unfortunate story where there was a heter to put a beer in. He went ahead and put wine in that he was not supposed to do. And even so, Ravina didn't say, it's time now to make a fence, make a gzera, and ban the use of the kankanim of goyim for even beer in anticipation of the wine case. Just like you saw, someone slipped up here. Now, why is it that his lo chosh l'milsa, they didn't pay attention? Amar akroi bi'almahu. He says, well, it was just a one-time event. It's not something that if we allow the beer, everyone will come to allow wine in these vessels as well. It might be worth repeating that the pouring of wine into these vessels will cause a situation for the wine that's absorbed in the walls to mix with the kosher wine. The wine absorbed in the walls is wine that was Yayanes, it was Goyesha wine, and it'll come to mix with the wine that the Jew is putting in. Nevertheless, the heter for putting the beer in, and the beer cancels, it's mevatel the taste of the wine, that heter does not fall away because we see that someone slipped up. Rav Yitzchok bar Bisna, Havilei, Hano Moni de Pakusna. Rav Yitzchok had vessels that were made from animal feces, and it's one can assume over here that this was these vessels were once they were owned by a goy once who had put in it yayin nesech. So now Rav Yitzchok bar Bisna wants to kasher them. Malinu mayo, he filled them up with water like we saw before the milui ve'irui treatment. Anchinu b'shimsha, but in addition to the filling up of water, he also placed them in the sun, poku, and they split. Omar le Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yitzchok, well, asartinu aloch isura d'liolam. Now you've made the vessels usur to you forever, meaning you won't be able to use them at all. Emor diomar abonan memalinu maya. All the rabbi said was, in order to kasher these vessels, you fill it up with water, fill it up, spill it out over 3 days. But anuchi b'shimsha mi omor, but to place it in addition to that, to place it in the sun, did they say that? No, they didn't say that. You were stricter than you had to be in here. You see, it's the vessels broke. Omor of Yusna, Omor of Ami, Kli Neser, Ein Lo Taro Oilamis. Kli Neser have no salvation, have no reparation forever. When we talk about there's no Tara, Rashi points out it means from the has no solution concerning the absorbed Yayin Nesech, and that's because this Kli Neser is very, very absorbent, so the wine won't ever come out completely. That is my Kli Neser. What is meant by Kli Neser? Amar Rav Yosi Bar Oven, Kli Machpuras Shel Tzrif. It's a Kli that's made from the dirt of this place. And the or it's made from this kind of material, from Srif is a type of mineral, so that this dirt is characterized by being highly absorbent. Debe parzik rufila, onas hani kubi mipomadisa. Parzik rufila, parzik is the name of a man, and rufila means he was like a viceroy, a second in command, a second to the king. So he's a powerful goyesha figure. He strong-armed away some kubi, some barrels, or vessels, mipumbadisa, ramu bahu chamra, he filled them up with his wine. This is, we're talking about osir wine, forbidden wine, ahadrinu ni'alayu, and then he gave them back to the community, to the Jews. Osu shailuhu Rabbi Yehuda. They asked him, the Jews came to Rabbi Yehuda and asked, well, you know, what about our vessels that were just used by Parzik Rufila for his wine? What are we going to do with these barrels? Omar, Rav Yehuda said, Dovor She'ein Machniso L'Kiyum Hu. The Goyesha, these Bay Parzik Rufila, when they filled up their kuvis, they didn't do it for storage purposes. They did it for a brief amount of time. And that's called Dovor She'ein Machniso L'Kiyum Hu. It's not something that's filled up or for storage purposes. So how do you deal with something like that? Something that was used for wine for only briefly. So meshach shechon b'mayim v'hein mutarin. You stir some water in them, and that is sufficient. Omrav avira, hani chatzvi shechimi darmoi. Chatzvi are again a type of receptacle, barrels possibly, if they're shechimi. Shechimi means they're from a type of, they're made of clay. That's this kind of color. So, kevon delo bali tuva. Since the shchimi type material doesn't absorb a lot, and you have some chatzvi shchimi of goyim, so what do you do? Meshach shechon b'mayim u'mutar. It's enough to stir some water in them, and they are allowed. Omar of Popi, hani pasvisa debe mechsi. Pasvisa are clay cheres, and debe mechsi is a place that the ground is very hard. Kevon delo bali tuva. Since these clay cheres from be mechsi don't absorb a lot, meshach shechon b'mayim mutar. It's enough to rinse them out with water, and they are mutar. Kosi. Kosi are cups made of earthenware. And of course, we're dealing with the same topic of having these vessels having come from the goyim. Rav Asi Osar, Rav Ashi Shori. I Shosi Behu Ovei Kochavim. If the Gentile used them for drinking. Pam Rishon Kuliamalo Pligi Dosser. And I got it after the goy took one drink from them. In other words, he filled them up once, and then I got it from the goy. So, kuli amalo pligi de usser. Since he filled it up a first time, in other words, the first time that this cup was used by a Gentile with his treif, with his unkosher wine, and he was the first one to use it. So, the vessel absorbed, there was a significant absorption in the kosi of the forbidden wine. That's, and therefore, kuli amalo pligi de usser. Everyone will agree that it's usser to. That any further, when the Jew puts his kosher wine in there, it will certainly mix up with the absorbed unkosher wine. Ki pligi bepam sheni. The machlokis is if the cup, let us say, was used for kosher stuff for the first on its first use, and upon the second use was characterized by unkosher wine in this cup. So, what do we say about a Jew using this cup afterwards? So, Iko Diamri Pam Rishon Vesheni Kalemolo Pligi Doser. One opinion is that if the goy was the first user of it or the second user of it, we are working on the assumption that the the kosos, these cups, did not reach their point of saturation at the second use. So that this opinion is saying whether the goy was the first user or the second user, then kuliyama lo pligidelser, everyone will agree that it will be forbidden for the Jew to use it afterwards. Ki pligi b'pam shlishi. The machlokas comes up if the goy was the user of the cup only on its third use. In other words, the first two uses of the cup, kosher liquids were placed in, and we're figuring here that that if it was already used twice, it could very well have reached its saturation point, and that the third use, which was done by the goy, nothing was absorbed any more. Therefore, it would be sufficient just to rinse it out, and the Jew could use it right afterwards. So, according to this Ikar D'Amri, the second version is Pam Rishon Sheiniglam Elpigi De'Oser. Whether the goy used it on the first use or the second use, it still hadn't fully become saturated, so that there is absorption of the unkosher wine. Ki pligi b'pam shlishi. The machlokas we saw of Asi and Rabbi Ashi concerns the goy having been the third user of it. In other words, the third use of the cup, the goy used it for an unkosher beverage. So regarding that, the Gemara claims that that's the point of machlokas. V'ilchasa pam rishon v'sheni oser shlishi mutter. And the Gemara rules that if the goy was either the first or second user of it, and he was using it for his yayin nesech, then it would be oser for the Jew to be to use it afterwards. However, if the goy was the third user of it, only upon its third use was the unkosher wine put in it, then we figure the cup would have been already fully absorbed from beforehand, so it doesn't absorb any of this unkosher wine, so that when the cup is empty, the Jew could use it. We have a triangle with a mivne heading, Machlokes Amoraim im yesh lahachmir bekunya yeruka. We'll see there's a machlokes Amoraim, whether you can use a vessel called, for our purposes, it's a yorok. Yorok is a type of color. It's a yorok colored glazed vessel. Amar Rav Zvid, and we might point out just another marking, was Rav Zvid is featured with a triangle, and Mremar a couple lines later also is with a triangle. We have another form here, the botai. Havlotas Shitos Mremar Bekunya. We're going to want to emphasize Mremar's opinion as far as these glazed vessels are concerned. So as we continue in the Gemara, Amar Rav Zvid, Hai Moni Dekunya. These are glazed vessels. Glazed, and the glaze was called avar. It's usually a lead-based material that one coats his clay vessels with. Chivra v'uchmi shari. If the color of the glaze is white or black, then the vessel can be used. Yeruka osir. However, if it's glazed with the yorok colored glaze, then the vessel is osir. Mishum de mitzrif. The yorok color is very absorbent. The is behu kartufni then kulu asri. If any of these glazed vessels happen to have cracks in it, then whatever the glaze color is, they will be usher for the Jew to use afterwards. We're talking about vessels that had been in the possession of a goy, and we're talking about glazed vessels. So the question is, will the glazed vessels that was in the possession of the goy have absorbed the wine that he put in? So the Gemara says that if you're dealing with a cracked vessel, then the colors don't make any difference. However, if you're dealing with these different colored glazes, if it happened to be glazed with the yorok colored glaze, it comes from a very highly absorbent material, and hence it would be usur. Dorash Mremar Kunya Bein Uchma Bein Chivra Bain Yeruka Shori. And this is would be a big leniency. We have here a for Yeruka Shori. You might want to compare this to the dashed underline two lines up. You saw Yeruka Usser. Here he's saying that even Yeruka is mutter, and that's even though there was Yayin Nesech in there. The Gemara asks, "Mai Shno Mechometz Pesach?" You also note that we have a long question marking starting here with the kuf encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, going down the next omid. We have a note on the inside margin concerning these brackets. Tama Sugrayim, Lafshir Lerois, Tamtzis HaSheila, Tzomud LeTshuva. We want to see the essence of the question next to the answer. So the question right now is, Mai Shno Mechometz BePesach, what is different about the case of the kunya vessels that we're talking about right now, where we see Akula, and Chometz BePesach, which we'll see shortly in the midst of the text, that Mereimar is Machmir. So here we have Mreimar being Mekil, being lenient with regard to these vessels, that even though it was used by the Goy for his Yayin Esach, I can use them later on without any special kashering treatment. So the Gemara is asking, what's different about these than the case of Chometz BePesach? And this constitutes, as we mentioned, a long question marking, and you can see, if you follow the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see how far the question goes. The question then was, what's the difference between our case of the Moni Kunya, the glazed vessels, that we see a leniency, that's Shari, he said, and Chometz Pesach, we see Mreimar is Machmir. We're going to see Mreimar in the bracketed section. However, if you skip to the end after the bracketed section, that the Gemara there presents its answer and says, Ze Tashmisha B'chamin, Ze Tashmisha B'tzonein. The issue of the Chometz Pesach, where we saw we were machmir, where we were stringent, that's because its initial use was in heat, with heat. So that things that are used in heat, the chances of it absorbing are much greater, and the absorption that they experience is much greater. That's as opposed to the heter, that's because we're talking about vessels that were used b'tzonein. So let's go now over the question with all of the material in the brackets. The Gemara asked, how is Mereimar being mekil with the kunya, whether it be black or white or this yorok glaze? Mai shno mi chometz bepesach, which we said Mereimar will see shortly as machmir. The bow mine mimreimar, hani moni de kunya. Once again, you see the bow tie used in order to draw a connection between the two times you see kunya. So moni are vessels of kunya. Kunya vessels, which we said before, glazed vessels. Mal lishtamushi behu bepischa. Can you use them on Pesach? So Yeruka, by the way, we're also at the beginning of a long question, which continues down the next omid. The length of the brackets, you can see using the length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, we have a dash-dotted line, and if you follow that, continuing on the left side of the Gemara text, you'll see the end of the brackets. So, the question was asked of Mreimar, that's Debo Mine Mi Mreimar, Hani Moni De Kunya Mal Shushibu Bepischa. On Pesach, can one use these glazed vessels? Now, of course, we're talking about glazed vessels that were used during the year for chometz. So the Gemara answers. So Mreimar answers, Yeruka lo tibayalach. If they were glazed with Yeruka, there's no question. The mitzrafi ubali, they are very absorbent, and therefore the asiri, they're therefore usher, because you've got some glazed vessel that's highly absorbed with chometz. Ki pligi loch chivri v'uchmi mai. My question comes up regarding white and black glazed vessels. further qualification. Ki isbehu kartufni lotiba lotivale bali viasiri. If they're vessels with cracks in them, then it's certainly usher because they definitely will have absorbed the forbidden food. Ki tiboyaloch dishiimai. We're talking about she means smooth. So we're talking about chivri v'uchmi that are smooth. Omar lehu, ano chazina lehu de medaisi. Well, he says, I saw these vessels with medaisi has to do with droplets of humidity or sweat, if you will. But sweat, the vessels obviously don't sweat, but condensation, we'll call it. That condensation formed on the outside of these vessels. The cave on the medaisi, since there was this condensation, vadai bali ve'asiri, they certainly must have absorbed something, because the condensation is really coming from an exusion from within the vessel to its outside wall. My time, haturah ha'ida al klei cheres sheinu yotzei midei dofno le'olam. The Torah tells us that the klei cheres cannot ever be fully kashered, can't be fully cleansed, or with the usher material removed from them. And we're talking about earthenware vessels. That's klei cheres, clay vessels. The Mora asks, "My shlomi ayin esech, the dorash luhum remar." What's the difference between the case of yayin esech, which remar, which is this is what we saw just before the bracketed section, whereby he said uchma, chivra, and yiruka are mutter. So what's different about the case of yayin esech, which was what remar was originally teaching? That if it, even though it had been used for Yayinessa purposes, since it has, once the Jew decides to use it for his own purposes, he can do it. So let's read that again. Maishnomi Yayinessa, the Dorshul Mremar, Kulu, Moni, the Kunya Shari, where Mremar said all of the glazed vessels are mutter. Vechitema, Chomet, Zeraiso, Yayinessa, the Rabbon. And you might want to say the difference is that in the case of chometz, you're talking about an iser doraisa, therefore we're very machmir, and we say that all of the that you know, in his final psak here we saw that the medaisi means even the black and the white glazed vessels will show condensation or a type of absorption and release to the outside wall, where they absorb the yayin esach and then release droplets of it on the outside wall. So, and if you'll say, well, the reason for this difference in Mremar's psak is that one is Doraisa and one is Dorabonan. Called the Tikkun Rabbonan came Doraisa Tikkun. Whatever the Rabbonan established, even if it's a rabbinical law, it reflects the Torah level. And if on the Torah level we would have been stringent, so on the rabbinic level we would expect to be stringent as well. So what's the difference between the issue of the money, the kunya of Pesach, where we conclude that it's forbidden, the issue of the money, the kunya that had chometz in before Pesach, and now you want to use it on Pesach, and the case of the cups that were used for, the glazed cups that were used for Yayin Nesach, which Mereimar said are okay. The answer is, Zeh Tashmisha B'chamin, Zeh Tashmisha B'tzonein. The Chometz B'Pesach issue is dealing with vessels. These glazed vessels were used originally it was used for boiling up things. So that if it was so, since we're dealing with Chometz B'Pesach, the Chometz was definitely absorbed into these vessels. However, V'zeh Tashmisho B'Tzonein, the case of the wine, of the cups used for wine, they were never used in heat, and hence there was never any real absorbing, and therefore they can be used, once emptied out, they can be used for kosher wine. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.